long-term target. We want to provide end-to-end service, end-to-end VPN service based on the physical network and also CPEs. And in the long term, there may be interconnect between different two ONAP instances. And the controller, we include OTN controller and the WAN controller. This is a target. And so, but in the phase one, I think maybe we should start from a baby step, maybe only a physical network to one ONAP instance, and only to make the physical, how to modeling the physical network, how to the modeling the CPE side to modern end-to-end service. This is a proposal. This the right side also proposed in the wiki. So I won't pay too much time in this detail. Here's what I would suggest, what we should model in the ONAP resource, how to define the resource model in ONAP to form end-to-end VPN service. So we suggest to set three kind of resource. One is VPN network, another one is a site. It could be one CP and also could be UP or like VPN gateway in the SD-WAN or something. And the VPN network can be used to model in the physical network. The parameters is just a sample, but we can update if need. And here's also the data model in AAI. I think it's similar. And this is the phase two. If we really need to support combined SD-WAN scenarios, then we can extend the site to include more component in the site, for example, the CP and the WinF both in there. And also the VPN network can also more than two more domain or more zoom to do that. And then in the STC, we think we need to add more resource catalog in here, like VPN connection and the site in just similar here. And here is we suggest to do because currently we can only find all the connection is virtual link. So all the resource, if we need to do some configuration, then we can only use virtual function. So I think we can have a discussion if should we create or introduce new catalog type, or we use the existing one, because we are in most scenarios since only is for virtualization network connection, not from concept as point is not suitable to more than a physical network connection, but we can discuss, should we change it? And here's some draft workflow. So first we need to create the resource, onboarding the physical resource in SDC and connect them together. And then in the instantiation steps, we can the SO BPMN, we use the OF to calculate the path if need, and then to send the commander to the SDNC. In the SDNC, we can create the DG for the site and also DG for the VPN net connection. And if, for example, if there's configuration to the SD-WAN, then for the site, then the DG can connect or communicate with the WAN controller, if not, and also the DG for the OTN network can send a command to OTN controller to call that. Yeah, here's I think it's here's a just a proposal, and let's also we suggest how to create the service modeling, how to create a resource for the CC VPN service. Any question?
Yes, Django. I actually, if I understand you correctly, you are proposing that adding two types of resources to for this use case. One is site, and the other is VPN connector. Is that correct?
Yes. 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 Here's because currently we only have in ONAP we only support the resource for the visualization resource. So I cannot find a good modern catalog type in SDC by now. But I think if we need to, especially if we consider phase two, then
may I ask a question about this?
Yeah, okay.
We need catalogs, no question about it. I understand that from the point of view of the ONAP code that implements things, we may need to support different catalogs that hold CPE information or VPN information. Got that. But from a modeling perspective, I would hope that we structure catalogs so that the catalog classes do not define the kind of thing they hold, because catalogs are not actually, from a modeling perspective, different depending on what they hold. Now,
right.
The TM Forum thinks there are different kinds of things called product catalogs. I mean, Michael, you can correct me, but I've been told that the TM Forum models have distinct classes called product catalog, service catalog, and resource catalog, which would mean we would need a VPN catalog, et cetera. If instead we take the approach that we have our catalogs, which can contain catalog items, which can contain whatever they need to contain, and that any specific catalog structure is one that is needed by the code, by the implementation, but not that the model doesn't mandate what the catalog has, because the catalog doesn't care, our life stays a lot simpler.
I fully agree with that, Joel. That's my view too, very strongly.
Yeah, but what I got is if we only talking about the classes, then in SDC there's only two classes. One is a resource, one is a service, no more.
No, that's what I'm saying. Don't have a resource catalog and a service catalog. Have a catalog which can hold products, services, resources, VPNs, whatever else we find as we build out ONAP, we need to have catalogs of. And let the ONAP implementation decide, okay, this catalog, which is shared across these instances, et cetera, holds this kind of information, and this one holds this kind of information. But don't try to represent that in the modeling, because it is a constraint about the usage, not about the way it actually behaves. The object has the same properties, methods, associations, et cetera. This makes your life much simpler.
Actually, just to complement on the TM Forum perspective, yes, we have three different kinds of catalog, as you said, product catalog, service catalog, resource catalog. But in terms of APIs, actually, those APIs are more or less the same. And we have, even if we have at the moment three distinct kinds of APIs, we are thinking about merging them together through a single one. Just a catalog API in some sense. So from an
Thank
API
you.
Perspective, yeah.
I think that would help you guys, but that's your call. But that's the
exactly.
point is that if we extract right. the commonality, we get something easier to work with for all of us.
Okay, well noted.
another question, Django, is that I see all the proposals actually coming from the resource domain. What about the service domain for this use case? Do you see that all these two types of resources that you would like to use in this use case are or atomic service component, or is there actually, you know, some of the scenarios that they might be composed?
I think the service modeling in CCU VPN use case, I think it's quite simple. We can use the just composition patterns, and we composed three type, composed these three resources together, and then this is a service, is just one end-to-end service. So if we can make resource, for example, like site, in the phase one, they can only have a connection to CPE, and in the phase two, maybe we can have some more WinF from SD-WAN scenarios. And so my understanding is the service modeling in CCVPN use case maybe could be very simple, but the resource in these scenarios maybe needs have request to support the NEST. We call them maybe NEST resource data model in a long term. That's my proposal.
So if I understand you correctly, you see that from this use case, there's no composite service, but there could be composite resource as you The site could be a composite resource, potentially composed of like VNF or other like type of resources.
Yes, yes. So if my understanding is if we think that we don't need to change, add a new resource type because we definitely need a different catalog type, but this was decided in deploying or design, this just in the instance level. So we don't need to introduce new classes. So, yeah, it's okay. We can check if this resource, current resource object can fulfill our requirement.
Thank you, Django, for sharing with us. I think I currently I have no further questions. Are there any questions or comments from this proposal? I think this one is actually come in a very picky special format. This is a slide deck, and it's actually illustrating some of the implementation design perspective rather than the formal proposal regarding an information model proposal. We actually would expect a more formal contribution in this working group. We would like to see a UML class diagram style that would illustrate, you know, what are the classes and what are their attributes, and if there are any relationship between them, and in perhaps a more formal contribution like a wiki page would be more sufficient for us to carry on the discussion in this context.
Yes.
So guys, if you
okay.
No further comments, I suggest that Django will bring in a more formal contribution regarding this use case. Okay. Perhaps we can come to another discussion next week or sometime later.
Sure, I will post it in the wiki.
Thank you, Django. And so let's move on to the second item on our agenda. And we have had a long discussion about, composite versus recursion pattern for this service layering design. And I proposed a new type of diagram based on the composite pattern. And Nigel would like to share with us some of his comments and also analysis regarding the comparison between the two for us today. And we look forward to conclude this discussion this week. So Nigel, you have anything to share with us today? Right.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute, sorry. Yeah, yes. I was going to, if you don't mind, I'll probably start from the stuff I was doing last week. I know Joel was heckling me as I went through the pack. I'm hoping the heckling will continue because I think I'm going in a particular direction that's, I think it's important with that. And then I'll go back to the comments on your piece, and I'll do it in that order if that's all right. If you can, you let me share. You have. Let me just clear my screens off appropriately so I can then share.
Sure, go ahead.
I think it's that guy, isn't it? That guy, that's right. And share. In theory, should be sharing a slide pack now, the one I was looking at last week. And I wanted to recap on a couple of points, and I'm going to agree with Joel that the point he made that I'm the pattern's being applied too high. I think that was the important thing that we got to last week. So what I was doing was going through an example with some actual classes that we would tend to have used in the networking. This is a small subset of the set of classes that are relevant in a particular networking context, and I wanted to just talk about the implications of trying to position these against a composite pattern that's at this level in the hierarchy. And I think Joel's point was, well, don't apply it there. So that was the point I was going to make anyway, but I don't think I quite got to. So I was looking at these things, and I was saying that there's a particular combination of aggregations that are allowed and a particular combination that aren't across this, and I can't really position this thing is strongly related to this thing and this thing is strongly related to this thing, but they're not related to each other, so hence trying to make them subclasses of in this way doesn't make any sense, because I can't subnetwork can't have cross connections in it, and a subnetwork connection can't have fabrics in it, and therefore that doesn't make sense as a positioning. So I was just playing around with that to start off with. So hence the statement here is composite is being applied too high in the inheritance hierarchy. So what I want to do is then look at what the traditional model would be and then put composite in that. So here's a traditional model, logical resource, subnetwork, subnetwork connection, fabric, cross connection. Subnetworks can be composed of subnetworks for a while, and then out pops the fabric, and that's the bottom. Well, that looks like an atomic, doesn't it? And subnetwork connections can be recursed for a while, and out pops the cross connection, and that looks like an atomic. And subnetworks can have subnetwork connections. Well, subnetwork connection isn't an atomic subnetwork, it's a completely different association. And fabrics can have cross connections. Well, a cross connection isn't a fabric, it's a completely different thing, and therefore it's a different association. And therefore, this looks nicely like atomic composite, but it's further down the hierarchy. So my first concern was that the, just like Joel, I know you and John have said, you shouldn't do recursive composition high up in the hierarchy. You shouldn't do composite high up in the hierarchy either. In fact, it has to be at a particular, an appropriate level, which I think is the point you were making last week anyway. I just haven't got to the slide yet. So, so I could push the composite pattern down to here and say, well, there's a concept of network and a concept of connection, just for the sake of pulling some words out that are the general thing. And then I've got the composite network is the subnetwork, which can recurse. And I've got the atomic network, which is the fabric, which can't recurse. And therefore, there's the pattern being applied. And likewise, subnet of connection. I've got the connection, subnet connections are composite. I can recurse and I get the cross connection, and that's the bottom of my recursion. So, and there's a little complexity in here is that these recursions are synchronized, but that's a separate problem. And the composite pattern, etc., nothing other than a relationship solves those, because obviously I drop down, because these things I have shown the association, because the subnetwork contains subnetwork connections. Obviously, if I drop down a level in this hierarchy, I drop down a level in that hierarchy as well. So I expect these two things to synchronize. But I'm not trying to solve that problem. I'm just noting that's an interesting observation. But and obviously, if I synchronize the top ones, when I get to the bottom, I get to the bottom of the other one as well, because that's just the natural aspect of synchronization. So I've only just shown that one thing. And the network is the context, because that's the thing that exists before I can create connections, etc. So I could potentially have had tried to move associations up, but the second I do that, I violate rules and so on. So this appears to be a reasonable positioning for the composite pattern, which is one of the concerns I had, Joel, in the MCM, is that the pattern is too high up the hierarchy for me, for a start. I can't inherit it, because I can't inherit the restrictions I want to inherit. So this would seem to be...
I understand. I want to let you go through the rest of this deck, and then we can discuss the trade-off of where to put it. It is absolutely a valid question to ask, where should one put the composite atomic pattern in a hierarchy? It is obviously trivial to put it too high. If you put it on the root entity of things, right. There's no point. Yeah. And it seems to me it's useful to avoid putting it too low down, because there is commonality. But that's... We can discuss that once you've finished your deck.
There's a sweet spot somewhere that's important to achieve. So if we're using the pattern, then it doesn't get applied in some single place as some single point in the hierarchy. It may get applied at some scattered. So like in one part of the hierarchy, it may get applied 3 levels down. In another part, it might get applied 10 levels down or something, because you don't get to the point of clarity until you get to that level. And the important thing is more that the pattern is available to apply rather than its brute force added at a particular level in the hierarchy. And that was my first concern.
Well, there is, I want to come back to that, but I want to let you finish your deck.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But the other problem we have, not when I get to the real fabric of the device, because here I'm looking at the term fabric tends to get applied to a traditional network element that might be a small thing. We assume it's got one cross connection card in it, one card that does cross connects, and there's an array of transistors in there or something that does this, and you could actually identify the cross connections being created, and they are indeed single gates and single transistors and so on, and therefore there is no divisibility. You can't go any lower without ending up with fragments of transistors and so on, which doesn't make any sense. But once you start to abstract away from the real bottom of the thing and start to say, well, I'm going to make this look like a network element. I want it to look atomic because although it's made of multiple separate shelves and so on, I don't want to worry about the detail. Then that, of course, is a policy decision or something of that sort. It's some rule that you've chosen to bound the problem at that point, at this moment. And you could change your rule and hence open up the content without breaking anything in the operations and so on. It's just the way you view it, and without indeed even breaking any of the services operating there for across it, or even the representations of them at the abstract level. Now, the problem then is that if I decide that this which is a class fabric is no longer the atomic thing, so I've got an instance of it, it's no longer atomic, I have to change it class to subnetwork. And the cross connections in it have to change cross to subnetwork connections, because they now are decomposable. And hence I had to change the class of something, and that sounds a bit disruptive. So if I've got a policy-driven atomic level, it doesn't seem that the pattern provides me with the benefit. It's okay at the very bottom, because there is genuinely a very bottom, and I can't divide the transistor meaningfully into pieces, and therefore I have hit the atomic thing and so on. But often I'm hovering above that somewhere, making policy decisions and view-based policy decisions or whatever rules-based system decisions that I make for a moment in time where I may change them. So the pattern appears to be disruptive in that context also. So
there's an opposite, Nigel. Yeah. Two things. One, let's be very careful about the word bottom because there's two distinct hierarchies.
Yes.
There's the decomposition hierarchy, i.e. an X is made up of Ys, is made up of Zs, is made up of Qs, where some Qs may be Xs, and that's why you have recursion.
Yes.
And there is all separately a notion of the class hierarchy, and that is not, being at the bottom of the containment hierarchy is not the same as being at the bottom of the class hierarchy. And even atomic is not at the bottom of the containment hierarchy, it's at the bottom of things which are of this, contain things of this higher level grouping.
Yeah, so it's the bottom of the network hierarchy in this particular case is the critical thing, I think, or the bottom of the connection hierarchy in these two examples.
But we need to somehow talk about it more generically than just in the network case.
Yeah, that's right. But my fundamental point here was that something can appear to be at the bottom of the network hierarchy at the moment, but not appear to be at the bottom of the network hierarchy a few moments later because I change a policy.
I don't think so, but I'm not.
Well, I've encountered that. The problem is I've encountered that where you may, I mean, take a real-ish case then, where an operator chooses to expose a capability to their customer. It's a slice, to use the current in vogue term, where the slice is exposed as if it is a network element. So it appears to be a fabric and it's got what appear to be cross connections across it. Although it's a very big network, it's, you know, from Moscow to Beijing or something like this. It appears to have points around the edge of it. And all I do is connect across it. That's a very common way of doing a VPN like offer or something of this sort. And I show no subdivisions in this structure. I may also offer another service that's available in the catalog to provide some further divisibility that says I've got these regions and I prefer to connect in region, not go outside region. So I don't use long haul things and so on. And they cost more. And I show some cost profile and the customer is allowed to feel they're connecting across a number of network elements in a network. Now that the realization of both of those underneath is identical.
Hold on, Nigel. With the example you've just quoted, that's a composite thing. The fact that in a given instance you may not have any components.
No, I agree. Fully agreeing. The challenge is though,
when I did fix that, there was a bug in the earlier version of the cardinalities that made it look like any composite had elements, and we fixed
that. No, I know it's been fixed. I've got no problem. The cardinalities on this diagram, I think, are the new ones, and I think they're correct, and that doesn't cause me a problem at a point in time. But if I want to upgrade the service from the opaque form to the semi-transparent form, all I really want to do is I want to keep the connections that are already in place and expose more detail. Now, previously,
but I wouldn't use two different classes to represent an opaque network and a transparent network. I would make them both networks which can have components, and one of them just happens not to.
Right,
I wouldn't use two different classes for that.
You
use different classes when you have a kind of a thing that can't have the parent as a component.
That's right, which is this. So this diagram now says they're all subnetworks because they could all have content, but some may not have. So hence, I've got a star here that lets me have no content. So I've got network, subnetwork. As you say, I didn't put the atomic one in because I don't want to put that in because it's policy driven and therefore it's never at the bottom at all. And hence, I have.
If you can know that all the subclasses can have things, even if they may not, then yes, you do this. But
yeah.
Part of the point is you're likely to also have subclasses of, now network may be a bad example. It may be that in the network case, you don't have any subclasses that can't have networks within them.
But generally,
you're dealing with resources and when you're dealing with services, you do have some kinds don't have other services in them. A DNS service doesn't have a network service inside it.
I'll accept that a pin, for example, in a physical space is indivisible and therefore is atomic and some atomic form of something. I don't know quite what, but you could argue a connector is an aggregation of pins and therefore it is itself a pin because it plugs in, so to speak. So I've got sort of like connectable thing. And then when I get down to the pin, it's genuinely indivisible. And I often get to that place because pins are not that small. They're not like transistors deep within the network, with the example I was giving. I don't tend to abstract them dramatically and so on. A pin,
if it can only contain one other kind of thing, you use a single aggregation. The whole point of the composite atomic pattern is to give us a spectrum of ways of representing, so that if you have something that can contain a whole lot of different siblings of itself,
yeah,
you can represent that by aggregating the parent.
That's
and
right.
Then putting an OCL to say there are a few exceptions.
Yeah.
If you have something that can only aggregate a very few very specific things, then you say it's atomic, and you say what it can aggregate.
That's,
and the whole point, and this is what I was going to bring up earlier, the whole point is that that gives you extensibility in the likely correct direction when new subclasses are added.
Yeah.
Things are added, you want to put things in the right structure so that it is likely. You can never be perfect. That's why models sometimes have to change.
Yes.
You want it to be likely that you're going to get the right result most of the time.
That, no, whilst I agree, I'm going to agree with you. Well, I'm clearly going to agree with you that that's the aim, is to get likely the right result most of the time. The situation I've gone through here, though, and the network may be special in the sense that we've got a number of classes which have these synchronized recursions. These are just two of a set of five classes that do this. So I only put two on here because I mean the two proved enough at the point. I could have brought the other ones on and it would have got really complicated and wouldn't have helped. It's been cluttered. But there are other ones that do this too in the network model as well. There's five of them that have this. And then there are a few other ones that have got another twisted behavior that makes it more interesting.
To use an example that you guys have used in the Tappy case, there are likely topologies contain nodes which contain topologies, which is essentially a version of the composite pattern here.
Yeah.
And the point is that there are no subclasses of topologies which don't contain nodes which contain nodes and links which contain topologies.
Yes.
And so in that case, no, you don't have atomic topology because there is no such notion. You never know that there's some kind of topology which can't possibly indirectly contain more topologies. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's a special case where you know that.
Yes, that's
there are plenty of cases where you don't know that.
Yes.
I do want to bring up, somebody asked a question in the chat.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And I think we should, before we continue, we should address that, because the point is for more than you and I to have a discussion.
Yes, that's right.
Which was about the fact that the current ONAP model that we're working from just has resource and service. Well, resource, service, and service components. But we expect, at least I expect, and I think you, Nigel, expect, and I think Ling Li expects, that we will over time have subclasses of these, that the model is not going to stop at resource, service, and service components, that we will have subclasses of each of these to represent things, and that's why it's worth discussing this.
Yeah,
if none of those were going to have any subclasses, any of those which we expected would not have any subclasses would indeed not need to have this discussion. And part
that's
of what Ling Li showed last week were some subclasses of service.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So they're not just services with an enum. They're services with subclasses where the subclasses add additional properties, etc.
Yes. We should both
let Zhang get a word in edgewise. Zhang, does that answer your question?
So Jianguo, he's asking you, there's no, that you're going to have the subclass in the future, not now. So they believe this. So Jianguo.
We believe if in the future there will be subclass. This is the question.
Yes, what Joel was speculating is that there would be subclasses, and hence the discussion.
Even Ling Li's example showed several subclasses.
Yes, that's right.
There were more than just adding an enumeration.
Yes.
And so I wanted to make sure that we had addressed the question that was being asked.
Yeah, can we give a exact sample to say, for example, just one example, I think is enough to say why we need a subclass. And because my understanding is there's a principle in the ONAP or STC is
if we need to support new service or if we would like to introduce new resource, then we should not ask to create subclass. We can just buy some, do some design things to make it work, make it implemented. If we really find a good reason to say in some special case we need a subclass, then my understanding is then first we should indicate what the subclass is, what is the extent, what we should extend to that subclass. Then my understanding is then all the following module like SO and AI.
No, it's
and
extremely
all.
Likely. Okay.
Yeah.
It is extremely likely that at least for resource and service components, and probably for service, based on lots of people's experience with lots of models, that we will need subclasses. Expecting this to have a single resource class which is not the parent of any other classes is unrealistic.
Mm.
I mean, resource is not something you model. Resource is almost always an abstract class.
Yeah, so if you look here, logical resource is already down from resource, and I've got further subclasses below that that I've had to put in to account for the complexity of the problem space. Yes, I could have modeled it all with resource with lots of additional data and metadata and so on, but then nobody would have understood the model.
we can imagine that maybe in the future that there will be a service that composed by the or several other service, like in the information model, this is a service composed by the service component. But what I send the SMS is in the implementation by now is we just use the service to set a relationship to another service.
Yeah, I understand.
We use composite model
So
that means we change the nest relationship to a kind of a reference or
understand
how to say to the model then we select a graph DB and he can handle it very easily to say if we reference one and then it reference another one. Then it's easy for the graph DB to.
Yes. So I mean, what you're doing is you're decorating, not using carefully using the word decorating.
Yeah. So they only you currently. I think the problem is.
Understand.
If we only talking about in the future, there may be some case. Yeah. Yes, I believe there may be some case, but if we want to persuade the people in ONF to accept this assumption, then we need to find a real use case to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here, interestingly, although I've gone down several levels lower than you've gone here, we don't subclass subnetwork, or we don't use subnetwork, we use forwarding domain. We don't subclass those. We simply decorate them, not decorator, but decorate them with additional properties to provide what sort of network it is and what layer it's in and so on. So we're using the same principle that you just described at this level. I think you're also following the sort of approach that Oasis Tosca has followed, where everything's a resource. In Tosca, and you arrange resources in I think like topology templates or service templates, I always forget which one, that then gives rise to something that you can then view as a resource, which you then, and it's a recursion of generalized generalized recursive model with data that decorates the elements to flavor them to particular things, and then there certainly is no atomic then really you can sense be identified, because everything is just the same sort of the same class, like resources.
Well, there are times when it is appropriate to extend classes by aggregations and assigned other kinds of associations rather than by inheritance. Again a modeling trade-off.
That's right.
At the level of resource and at the level of service, what we've usually found is that one does need subclasses.
Yeah.
And that's because even the things you want to extend with ought to be subclasses of something, and you start going, what is it they are?
Yeah.
And you're left going, well, okay, yeah. There are some classes of something else I need to have, and then, okay, there isn't anything holy about having only product, service, and resource. In fact, in the math model, we have information resources, which are really a different thing, and we have metadata, which is a different thing. But the point is, you have classes with hierarchy, and when you know that you won't want to, and I know Tappy has some very specific cases where you have concluded there are no subclasses of foo. Well, then you use a different pattern. There's no point in using
that's
atomic composite pattern below that if there is no below.
Yes, that's right.
Fully understood. Make it a little upset about that, but I do grant there are times when recursive associations are the right thing.
Yes. So I think that's very true. And maybe the argument here is that there are no, in the case of network, although we subclass to network, there are no subclasses below network that have any special characteristics other than they can potentially recurse into further networks, and that's it. And it's the same sort of position, except we drop to a level lower. And
the level is not something the model needs to represent as different classes. Yeah. They need an attribute that tells you the right thing, but
hence that's this, which says I've got subnetwork connection. I've used those terms out of the previous thing. This is the way the models are gone. They recurse. There's no bottom. A subnetwork connection is not a subnetwork by definition, although you could argue that they're both, and in fact, we've gone down this path also, they're both about forwarding, and therefore you've got enabled forwarding on the right and potential to enable forwarding on the left, and therefore all you need is forwarding and enabled or potential, and you go up another level, and you can keep doing that until you end up with thing with a lot of properties and an association. And that's it. Thing and association is a not understandable model, unfortunately. And you need to provide all sorts. Then you spend your life writing constraints. So the danger is ending up in a super generalized model with just a big mass of constraints and nobody can understand it, or an over specialized model with a mass of subclasses that nobody can work their way through because there's billions of them. And somewhere in the middle for each particular part of the problem domain, there's some sweet spot where we can both understand it and work with it in terms of the volume of classes and instances and so on. And that's roughly where we've sort of hit. But the network pattern appears to arrive back here again when I tried to apply atomic composite. And the other issue here was the situation is more complex because the subnetwork connections are potentially asymmetric, so that I've done a simple version of this where they don't join any old port on the subnetwork connection joins to any other old port on the subnetwork connection, so it isn't just like a single point of functionality or something. It's got an asymmetry about it and an orientation. This is where the component system pattern thing we've been playing around with in ONF comes in, that says any particular functional thing can be considered as a functional core and a set of ports around it, where that's instead of moving down, so you get component and ports, and the components assemble into systems which have system boundary ports, and the system can then be perceived as a component with ports on it. So I'm not going to go through this in detail, so you've only got like 6 minutes and it'll take too long, but that's the pattern we've been using for all of our functional things, although we didn't realize it initially. And we're getting more and more and more to this, where each of the functional elements has got this as a fundamental sort of basis, where it's considered as a component has a set of ports. The ports combine to ports. The ports can be, sorry, the diagram is a little bit compact here. A component can be. This is the interesting of the node topology thing as well, where this is the node. And that's the topology, essentially, which has a set of nodes in it. So it's the same pattern we even used in TAPI in that context. And this pattern keeps coming at us. Every time we do something, we end up, the pattern's not quite right, by the way, because we're still trying to work out what the pattern really is. But it's essentially got those bits in it with essentially those associations with something like those multiplicities and so on, with some constraints in it. So if you look at it like that. But every time we do something in a functional space, this seems to sling itself at us. The more we look, the more we see it everywhere. Now, so that suggests that functional resources, it's not the same for informational resources. They haven't got this. So Joel pointed out that you've got physical resources, you've got functional, you've got informational things, you've got metadata, etc. Not everything does this, but things with functions appear. And when you sort of think it, step back and think of it, it isn't really surprising, because that indeed is what you would, if I had a piece of hardware, that's what it would look like. It would be a component with a set of plugs on the side of it, which I could get at certain functions, and so on. And I have a system of them. So the physical, the functional variety of the physical space has this sort of shape to it. And so do VNFs, and so do, I mean, the NFV guys ended up with a similar sort of pattern. Tosca has this sort of pattern in it. This is what the roughly what the Tosca meta model, unwritten as a meta model, Joel, I know, is. It's got this to it. And it seems to be sort of like core to all of our functional things. And then that brings me to the challenge, really, which is a new slide I put in just now. A service that represents functionality with ports that are built from similar services resources have the same issue as highlighted in this slide. They're all of that form. And there is, and when I go to this form, there is never really a bottom on it, because everything, a component, yes, I can form a system of it, and then I can view it as a component. I can keep going. And not wishing to sort of extend it to a silly position, you can keep doing this thing down to string theory. I know I said that the other day, Joel, as well. But and you can keep going up to the universe. It sort of has that unfortunate extent to it. There isn't a bottom, really, relevantly. We're sort of like 10 to the 45 away from the real bottom, and there isn't the top. So I can always aggregate stuff to be, I can say, well, a corporation is a system of components that can be viewed as a component. I can say that a VNF, well, is made of further subordinate bits, so it's a component that is made of other components. And all of our services have got that feel to them too, because we offer functional services. If we were doing something else, in some other form of service, I agree, then potentially the model wouldn't apply. But from a functional service perspective, this appears to be the pan that's at the heart of it. This doesn't yield to atomic composite at all, really, because as I said, there isn't an atomic at the bottom of this that you can sensibly say is fundamentally the bottom, because I can always break it down further if I find a good reason to do. And it is the node topology thing Joel mentioned. So that's the thing I wanted to get. And I've got a lot of pictures of networks and various other things that sort of I was going to use to illustrate if we wanted to go and look at any, but we don't need to look at them. They were pulled out of the TMF. Going back a generation. Pulled out of the ONF data. So that's really where I ended up. And that's the best view of the component system pattern I can give. It may not be bang on right. It's what we've been playing around with in ONF and TMF previously and so on. I've finished now.
Can I ask you, Nigeria, is this a proposal or is this some comments for the composite pattern?
Well, I'm arguing that the pattern we need to get hold of really is this one, and that actually goes back to the comments that were made earlier. If I was to look at the generalized service or generalized resource, it probably is this thing, which is component, and I've got a service, one of them, and a resource, one of them, which has a set of ports on it. And I'm not sure how close that is to what you're doing. And then I assemble it into systems. I said Tosca does this. We do this in ONF. And what I heard earlier is the sort of thing you're trying to do in the GraphDB. And this is would yield well to a GraphDB situation. And then I decorate to get to, not using the decorator, sorry. I decorate, or I augment with properties. I aggregate or compose it properties that then give me the structure. I think that's what you might be doing, something like this in the graph database, essentially. And then in ONF, we specialize a bit further. So I'm arguing that that in the area of resource, the composite pattern from the networking resource perspective hasn't helped me. And in the area of functionality, which appears to be what the networking problem is a subset of, I appear to have the same trouble. And because our services are functional, I suggest we'd have the same problem again, and I'd suggest this pattern is the actual pattern we're really trying to apply with the corrections.
Well, that's where I start to disagree. A lot of services do not have services one can decide to expose underneath them. They have resources they use, and that's it. And a lot of products do not have products inside them that you can choose to expose. They have the, they are what they are. Now, some of them are composite. That's the point.
Yeah.
And they do have different properties for different kinds of services. And the kinds do correspond with whether or not they're actually atomic.
The only problem I have with the point about products, I think, I mean, we can work through each of those in turn, but a product is whatever the organization wants to sell as a product. I mean, it can be literally anything. I could sell, you know, small fragments of a sheet of paper if I could find a way of selling them as products. I can sell, if you know the Monty Python sketch of three inches of string, I could sell 3 inches of string in a go if I had to find a way of selling it. Anything can be a product, and therefore I can always break a product down to other things I could then make products out of. Anything, literally anything. If I can sell it, it's a product. And I don't think you can argue fundamentally that a product is, you get to a point with a product that's indivisible and I couldn't make it out of other products I also sold. And I'm going to argue also, I think the same is true therefore of service and especially of resource because of the string theory comment. I think genuinely I cannot say this is the bottom of the resource recursion because it isn't. It's policy based bottom. So hence my argument really is that I don't think I can apply a rigid class based atomicity statement to anything.
So you cannot apply this something rigid. So I think this committee need to move on.
I realize we're just running out of time again for the nth time. Sorry.
All right. Okay.
It's like a soap opera. The music stops just at the wrong time. So you don't know what the conclusion is. Anyway, that's the position. Anyway, so I probably finished stating the position. I mean, I'm not going to argue any more on this. Really, I think it's just that's the position I think we're in.
Okay. So Lin-Li, I think that's it. I think he presented his ideas. It's just not any more argument.
No, I'm, and obviously the group can choose whichever way the group chooses, and I will then go along with whatever the group chooses and help as much as I can. Clearly, because that's what I always do. But
sharing with you, with us your comments and views, and also your experience. You know, my concern is that without any concrete proposal from your side, we will have to go to move on with the only one table. So is that okay with you? So I understand that there is some of the concerns about some complicated cases, for example, a very high hierarchy or subclasses, huge number of subclasses. But to my understanding, we're currently not in that place. So is it okay for you that we start with this composite pattern proposal and bearing in mind your comments and suggestions when we're dealing with complicated cases, we'll bring it back and see.
Who raised the GraphDB point, by the way? I didn't get the name of the person who raised that point, actually. Sorry, who was that?
It's Jen Guo from Huawei.
Okay, right, fine. Okay, I thought it was. I wasn't sure, okay. So I wouldn't mind a separate discussion if he's available at some point on the GraphDB solution, because I think there might be some further synergy. I can take it out of this context and just have a brief discussion if we could do that, perhaps. Django.
Yeah.
So if you can email me or something, we can perhaps have a brief call on that, and I can just see if we're in a similar place. I think we probably are in a similar place, actually.
Okay.
We can talk. Yeah.
Yeah. If you just send me an email with a proposed time, we can gradually, you know, we'll sort out some time and then discuss.
Okay.
Great. Okay. And as I said, I'm fine with, you know, whatever as a group we choose to do, I will then work with, obviously. And you know, if we got some, I will keep pushing the envelope, obviously, but I won't object to whatever you choose, clearly, because it's a group decision, and that's the critical thing.
Thank you, Leisha. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
We're running out of time. Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.